Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless with blessings with food. Me and Granny God say blessings are in the
me and
David say, me my drink out of traffic, I'm so far over, what's to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed to be blessed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be blessed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be blessed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and we have been studying Trusting God in the Midst of Trouble. Trusting God in the Midst of Trouble. Our subtopic for tonight is, My Grace is Sufficient for You. My Grace is Sufficient for You. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just give You glory, honor, and praise. We magnify and lift up Your holy name. Lord God, we thank You for another opportunity to bless You, to study Your word. And Lord, we just thank You for the good times and the bad times. We thank You that You bring us through, oh God, victorious. Lord God, we thank You because You remember us, Lord God. You see every tear that falls from our eyes, oh Lord. And oh God, we thank You for just remembering Your children all over the world, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank You for those that have been set free from the bondage of sin, those who have repented and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And, oh God, we pray tonight as we study together, Lord God, that You would truly move in a miraculous way in our hearts and in our minds. God, we pray that You would move in a miraculous way in the hearts and the lives of Your children. Lord, I pray that they would begin to see great and marvelous things happening in their lives. Lord, I pray that every need that they have will be met. Oh God, I just give You glory and honor and praise. I thank You because You are righteous and You are holy. Oh God, there is no other God but You. And oh God, we just thank You for Your blessing right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, our scriptures tonight will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse, and also Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at the 1st verse. And I hope you don't mind if I start with the book of Ecclesiastes. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. It is after the Psalms, so, and then Proverbs is right after the Psalms. So right after Proverbs, you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, and as we know, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and most scholars agree that it was probably Solomon who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And the word Ecclesiastes is derived from the word ecclesia, which means assembly, congregation, or church, or simply meaning preacher. Or in the Latin, Ecclesiastes means speaker before an assembly. Speaker before an assembly. And so we see that the book of Ecclesiastes was something that was addressed not just to one person, but to many people. And so the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, to everything there is a season. There is a season. If we compare that to the way that God has set this world up, we'll see that we have fall, we have winter, we have spring, and we have summer. And so if we compare what's going on in our lives, we'll see that everything has its season. And when that season is up, then it's time to move on. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, we might not know or understand the season that we're in right now, but we know this, that there is a season for everything. There is a purpose for everything. And so, whatever it is that you're going through right now, understand that this is just that season of your life. You know, sometimes that season of your life can be wonderful, you know, and then you have another season that's not so wonderful, and then everything turns around again, and you have a great season. And so whatever season you're going through right now, understand this, that God has your life in his hands, and everything is under control. The Bible says in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. So all of us were born on this earth for a purpose, for a reason. And one of these days we're going to leave this world. We don't know when we're going to leave. We just know that we're going to leave one of these days. And the Bible said that we should be ready. We should watch and we should wait, because no one knows the day nor the hour when Jesus shall come again. And so it would behoove us to be ready, to get our hearts right, to get our souls right with God, because we don't know when our season is going to be up on this earth. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So, my friend, if you don't know what your purpose is for living in this earth, ask God. Seek his face and ask him to show you what your purpose is, because the Bible says that there is a time to every purpose under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, I like how Solomon used the harvesting season as an example, because for anyone who has ever lived in the country or visited a farm or have eaten any produce in the supermarket, have, you know, bought some produce and eaten it, not the people who just walk through and get the grapes and have them all eaten by the time they get to the cash register, the people who actually buy it and then eat it. If you have ever experienced that, then you understand that someone had to plant that produce and then someone had to harvest it. The corn didn't just appear out of nowhere. And the apples didn't just appear out of nowhere. Someone planted that apple tree, and then someone had to harvest it. And so we see that things are planted in our lives, in our hearts, but soon it needs to be harvested. We can have bad things planted in our hearts and then spew out bad things, or we could have good things planted in our hearts and then spew out good things. You see, it's all a matter of what you plant is what you're going to pluck up, or what you sow is what you are going to reap. Many people plant seeds of bitterness and seeds of discord, But God wants us to plant seeds of happiness and joy and peace. He wants us to be the type of people that plant positive and productive things in the lives of others. So we see that whatever we plant, one of these days is going to have to be plucked up. And I pray, friend, that you plant some good things so that when God is ready to pluck them up, they will be good things that are ready to be plucked up and not, you know, some negative, nasty things. Because we all have known some folks, whether they were family or whether they were friends, that were really nasty in their attitude and in their behavior. And so we know that the seeds that they were planting when they were ready to be plucked up would not have been easy or very nice seeds and would definitely need to be plucked up and just thrown away. Look at verse 3. It says, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to kill. Why would the Bible talk about killing? Because, of course, there are times when if you are on a farm, you might have a goat. You might have something that you need to kill it in order to cook it and eat it. You know, you might have a chicken. Or you might be in the Army or the Air Force or, you know, defending your country where it might be necessary to take a life because of the fact that you have to defend your country. So there are various reasons why the Bible would say that there is a time to kill. It's not referring to murder. Murder is when someone, for no reason at all, just gets up and kills another human being, and that in itself is wrong. So the Bible is not referring to murder. Murder is something that is illegal. It is referring to the fact that, you know, there are times when you have to eat and you might have to go hunting. You know, there are a lot of hunters around the world that like to hunt game and kill it and eat it. And there are times when you might have to defend your country. So whatever the situation is, the Bible says there is a time for that. The Bible also says that there is a time to heal. Many, many times we have gone through difficult times in our lives and we have been hurting for so long that it's almost second nature to hurt. We have been disappointed so long that it's almost second nature to be disappointed. But the Bible tells us that it's not okay to continue that way. It's not okay to continue being wounded. It is not okay to continue, you know, having this chip on your shoulder towards other people. But there is a time to heal. There is a time to continue on with your life. There is a time to get over past hurts and past disappointments. There is a time for everything. And God wants you to know that it is time to heal. It is time to put things behind you that you have gone through for so many years, and for some reason you just feel like you have to continue holding on to that. And God says it's not time to hold on to that. You need to let go. You need to release the pain. You need to release the anger. You need to release those things that you have no control over. Why hold on to old baggage? God wants you to release that. He wants you to let that go because he has great things in store for you, and he wants you to understand that this is your season to be blessed. This is your season to be healed. This is your season to be delivered. Stop holding on to old grudges. Stop holding on to things in your life that just have you out of control, and understand that God has great things in store for you. The Bible says a time to break down and a time to build up. Do you understand, my friend, that there are things in your life that you might have to break down? You might have to dismantle. You know, I can just imagine an individual that has a brick wall around them, a facade. In other words, this is the face that you show to the outside world. And God is saying, dismantle that. Take it apart. Understand that it's time to tear down that false facade and allow God to give you true righteousness and strength. Allow God to give you the real you. You know, there's so many times when you've gone through such difficulties in your life that you have lost touch with the real you. You've lost touch with the inner person because you've built so many walls around yourself and around your heart, and you need to surrender your life to God so that God can begin to rebuild that part of you, that character that you have lost. The Bible says a time to break down and a time to build up. After you have dismantled all of that fake stuff that you have built around your heart and around yourself, then you have to start to become real again, start to live again, start to experience wonderful things again. Why? Because God is calling you, and he has already blessed you. The Bible says in verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There are times in our life when we might need to weep a little bit. We might need to cry a little bit. We might need to shed some tears because of some things that we have gone through that just hurt us so much, and we just never thought that we would recover from it. And we have to just shed some tears about the situation because we have no control over the situation, and we wish that we could change it, but we just don't know how to change it, or we just don't have the strength to change it. And God is saying right now, don't worry about weeping. It's okay to weep sometimes. It's okay to cry sometimes. It's okay to just hold on to your pillow and you know, you want to scream and you want to shout, but you don't know how to, and so you just hold on to your pillow and you just cry silently into your pillow because the things that you're facing are so challenging that you don't know, you know, what else to do but to just cry a little bit. I've had those moments. I've had those days, but the bottom line is that I knew how to cry and then dry my eyes and continue on. I knew how to cry and say, Lord, give me the strength for another day. Give me what I need to get through this difficult situation. We've all had those moments when we had to weep a little bit. We had to turn around and say, God, give me what I need to make it. But notice that right after he said a time to weep, he said a time to laugh, meaning that there are times when the situation is just so bad that we just have to sit down and say, God, give me, you know, something good out of this. And sometimes you just have to sit and laugh at yourself and say, you know, look at you. You know, you're here crying, but girl, you need to dry your eyes, or man, you need to dry your eyes and understand that God is going to give you what you need to make it another day. God is going to give you what you need to make it another month, another year, another 2 years. He's going to give you what you need to make it for the rest of your life. Don't get so discouraged that you feel like throwing up your hands, but understand this, that after the weeping comes laughing, and even after you mourn even a little bit more, there's going to be a time of dancing, because God knows your heart, God sees everything that you're going through, and he is going to make a way for you. He is going to give you strength. I'm a witness, my friend, that if God can give me strength to get through some of the things that I've gone through in the past, I know that he can give you strength. I know that there's nothing too hard for God to do. I know that he can strengthen you. He's done it for me, and I know that he can do it for you. He can give you strength, my friend. He can help you. Verse 5 says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. You know, there are going to be times in your life when you need to throw some things away and you need to gather some other things back up. You know, some old things that you've been holding on to, you might need to throw those away. And understand that in order for God to replace what you have in your hand, you must get rid of what you don't need. Oh, I'm going to say that one more time. In order for God to replace what's in your hand, you've got to get rid of what you don't need. You see, we have a tendency to hold on to the things that we don't need and think that God is going to give us something new. God is not going to give us something new until we get rid of the old. So whatever it is that's hindering you, that's blocking you from doing God's will, from answering the call of God on your life, you're going to have to say, you know what, I'm sick of this, I'm tired of this, Lord, the Lord wants to bring me into my season of blessing. He wants to bring me into this new season of joy, and I've got to release that old stuff that's been holding me down, that's been bothering me. I've got to release some of that stuff and allow God to replace that old stuff with some new stuff. Amen. God wants to bless you with some new stuff, but he can't give you anything because you will not release all that negativity and all that old muck, you know, have you ever stepped into some slushy mud? You know, that's what I call some muck or some slime, some messy dirt, you know, and you get all stuck in it and you say, wow, I can't believe I didn't notice that big mud spot there and I stepped in it with my high heels and got stuck. You know, we walk around with all of this sludge. I went to the car place this past week, last week, and the guy told me I took too long to do an oil change, and so I had sludge in the bottom of my engine. And then he also said how much it was going to cost for me to run a cleaner through the engine. And then they told me I had some other stuff that were more pressing. And so, of course, I did the other stuff that were more pressing. And I guess another time when I do my oil change again, I'll let them do the cleaner and take all the sludge out the bottom of the engine. But why did I tell you that? I told you that because of the fact that our hearts are like that engine in a car. That engine in a car, you're supposed to do your oil change every 3,000 miles. Well, if you're like me, you might have a tendency to just drive around and around and around and not remember to do that oil change or spend your money on shoes or something else and don't do your oil change. And I know that I'm guilty of that. You know, I'll spend my money on other things and leave that for last. So if you're like that engine and you have allowed your oil change to lapse, then there's a possibility that there is a lot of sludge at the bottom of your heart. And God is saying, if you would just begin to get regular oil changes, if you would just begin to get regular renewal. How can you get regular renewal? You've got to read the Word of God. You've got to seek the face of God. You've got to seek him and understand him and allow him to help you. You see, when we don't do that, we get sludge. We get some yucky, yucky stuff in our heart that's hard to get out unless we send through a cleaner. Who is that cleaner? That cleaner is Jesus Christ. You see, without Jesus, we cannot make it. Without Jesus, we cannot be successful. Without Jesus, we have no strength. We have no peace. Jesus is the answer for all of the things in our hearts that we need cleansing, all of the things in our minds that we need cleansing. Jesus is that person that is able to clean out our hearts, that is able to clean out our thoughts. Jesus is that person that is able to give us strength when we feel like we just don't have the energy to do anything. You know, I've been home for some weeks from work, and I just went back to work on Tuesday, and, you know, I'm just not feeling as much, as energetic as I should because I've been sitting around the house for so many weeks. Now, after being out the house for a few more weeks, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be, you know, strong again and what have you. But just this week, I don't feel that strong because if you sit around the house not doing too much, then your body is not going to feel that strong. You've got to be out doing something. If you don't have a job, find some place to volunteer. But you've got to be out doing something. And when you're not doing anything at all, you become weak. Now, let's transfer that over to spiritual things. If you are not really seeking God daily, seeking him in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, if you're not seeking him daily, you will not be a strong Christian. In order to be a strong Christian, you've got to be seeking God with all your heart and all your mind. Amen. So the Bible tells us that there is a time for everything. Look at verse 5 again. Time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You see, there are times when you need to embrace people and there are times when you might need to walk away from them. Not everyone who seems nice, you should call them friend. There's some people who they look like they would make great friends, but they're actually not, because in the long run, they do not have your best interests at heart. And so there are times when you can run to people and embrace them, and there are times when you must pray and ask God to give you a discerning spirit so that you can move away from those who you do not need to have in your inner circle. Amen. The Bible says in verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. There are times that we get and there are times that we don't get, but it's okay. You see, because God said that he would be with us at all times. And if God says that he would be with us, then it's okay when sometimes we have and sometimes we don't have. That's all right. Why? Because sometimes material things come and material things go. It's okay. It's quite all right because God is still able to sustain us. My grace is sufficient, he says. All right, let's look at verse 7. It says a time to rend. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 6, we'll finish it. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. We've got to know when to keep things and when it's time to get rid of things. Right now I'm going through my closets and trying to get rid of things, but not just material things, but, hey, people. There are times when it might be a person, you know, you and them were close friends a long time ago, but your lifestyle has changed now. You're now a Christian, and this person refuses to embrace your Christian walk, and they want to try to haul you into clubs and different things. It might be time to walk away from this person. You know, you've had them in your life for so long, but maybe it's time to walk away from them if they will not understand that you have now dedicated your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and that you are serious about serving God. Look at verse 7. It says, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, isn't that amazing? Solomon is a guy, but yet our father, who loves us so much, knew that there would be women reading these scriptures and also made reference to sowing, made reference to the fact that, you know, there are times in our lives when we might have to, you know, we might have to rip something and we might have to sew it back together. So there might be a time when you have to walk away, but there might be a time when it's time to restore that relationship. Why? Because that person has made a commitment to change their lives. You see that they have, and so it's time to restore that relationship. God is in the restoring business, my friend, and he wants to restore your life. He wants to restore your family. He wants to help you. And the Bible says there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I tell people, you've got to know when to shut your mouth. In the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials, you've got to learn when to shut your mouth. You see, it's easy just to talk. And some people love to talk just to hear themselves. But I want you to understand that you don't need to talk just to hear yourself. You need to understand that God wants you to learn how to listen to other people, how to get instruction from wise people, someone who's been in serving God for a long time, who's been through the hard knocks of life. You know, some person with wisdom can teach you some things. Don't be the type of person who does not want to hear what anyone else has to say. But when you see that a person is sincere about their walk with Christ and they're encouraging you in the right way, listen to them. Listen to them and understand that God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be righteous. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be at peace. He wants to show you favor. And so because we know this, we've got to learn to put our trust in God and allow God to direct us, allow God to lead us so that we will know when it is time to close our mouth. Verse 8 says a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You see, there's going to be times in your life to love and a time to say, you know what, I disagree with what you're saying. I disagree with what you're doing. There are times in your life for that. Everyone cannot agree with everyone else. There's going to have to be somebody in the bunch that stands up for what is right. There has to be somebody out of all of those folks who said, you know what, it doesn't matter if everybody else is doing that. I am not doing that. It's not right. It's not biblical. You can do that if you want, but I'm not doing it. Someone has to stand up. And so although there's lots of times to love, there's going to be a time to hate. There's going to be a time to say, listen, I don't agree with that. I know that's what everyone else in society is doing, but I don't agree with that. You see, you're going to have to stand up for what you believe and understand that God is with you, and he is going to strengthen you, and he is going to help you. The Bible says a time of war and a time of peace, and I've already made reference to that, that there are times when you might have to fight for your country. Look at verse 9. It says, what profit had he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? You see, man works hard over and over and over again, constantly working, and sometimes you don't see what you're working for. You see, sometimes you work and it's just in vain. And so why work so hard and not put God in his rightful place in your life? Put God first, and he will give you the strength to be able to do those things that you need to do. Look at verse 10. It says, I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He had made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he had set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So the Bible says he had made everything beautiful in his time. Now, notice it says in his time. In his time. So God does things on his timing. And a lot of times we get so frustrated when we have asked God, we have prayed and asked God for something because it doesn't happen as quickly as we think. And we, you know, sometimes get mad at God. You know, well, why I see things happening so quickly and it's just not happening that quickly for me. And we've got to understand that God, once again, he knows what he's doing. We've got to trust him. We've got to believe him. We've got to know that he is still with us and that he is able to help us. But we've got to just put our trust in him and understand that he does everything beautiful in his time. In his time. Let God do the things that he needs to do in your life, but let it be his time, not yours. Bible says also he had set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Dear friend, if you should sit all day long and think and think and think, you will not be able to figure out who God is and what he has done. Because God is infinite. He knows everything. He has created everything. And all we can do is say, God, I love you. I praise you. Don't try to figure out God, because you can't. God is higher than we are. His thoughts are higher than ours. And so there's some things that God has set in place that it's going to be hard for us to understand why. It's going to be hard for us to understand how he did what he did. But the thing about it is that you don't have to understand how God does what he does. Just know that he is God. Don't try to understand how he set the stars in the heavens. You'll be sitting there a long time trying to figure out how those stars are staying up in the sky. You'll be, you know, trying a long time to figure out how all those planets are lined up and how they're hanging up in the sky and they're not falling down. You know, these are things that you might try to figure out. There are lots of things that you'll try to figure out about God that you'll never be able to figure out until one day when you get to heaven and you ask him. So, what about your life? Why can't you get where you need to get to? Because you're going to have to wait on God. God is going to bless you. Great things are going to happen in your life. Great things are happening in your life right now. God has spectacular, miraculous things in store for you. All you have to do is just wait on God. All you have to do is keep praising him. Don't give up. Don't stop praising him. Don't stop loving him. Understand that God cares about you and that he has everything worked out for you. Look at verse 12. It says, I know that there is no good thing good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So, in and of our own self, there's no good in us. But for us to be able to rejoice and do good, we ourselves might not be good. You know, our nature, the very nature that we have is sinful because of Adam and Eve's first sin when they disobeyed God. But understand this, that God says we have the capacity to do good. We do. We have the ability to be kind to people. We have the ability to pray for people. We have the ability to speak positive words into the lives of those around us. We have that ability to do so. All we need to do is surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to use us for his glory. Look at verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So, what is a gift of God? For you to be able to have the strength to go to work every day and to work hard and be able to take care of your family and buy the necessities that you have need of, the Bible says that is a gift of God. And so every day when we get up, we should just say, thank you, Lord. Because you didn't have to do it, but you did. My very breath today is a gift from you. My strength today is a gift from you. The fact that I'm able to get off my bed is a gift from you. The fact that I'm able to see everything around me is a gift from you. The fact that I'm able to hear the birds chirping is a gift from you. The fact that I'm able to see my children grow up is a gift from you. Everything that we have is a gift from Almighty God. And we should not take it for granted, dear friend, that we are here. We should not take it for granted, dear friend, that we're able to do the things that we do. But we should see it as a gift from God and understand that God has just lent us another day. He has just lent us another moment. And we are to consider it a gift from God. Look at verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. So, whatever God does, it is forever. Now, can you imagine understanding that when you surrender your life to God, that he gives you favor? And when he gives you favor, the Bible has just said that it is forever. So when God blesses you, it is forever. Nobody can come behind God's blessing and put any kind of voodoo or anything on you. No one can come behind what God has said and try to curse you. Once God has blessed you, you are blessed already. Amen. Once God has spoken favor over your life, that favor will remain on you forever. Nobody can take that off of you. Every place Joseph went, although he was thrown in a dungeon, every place Joseph went, he had favor. Why? Because God's hand was upon him. Dear friend, when God's hand is upon your life, wherever you go, people will show you favor. Wherever you go, doors will open in front of you. Wherever you go, someone will try to slam a door in your face when you go for a job, and God will reopen that door. Someone will try to tell you no, and God will change their no into a yes. I want you to know, friend, that God has a lot of yeses waiting for you. The enemy might try to block your blessing. He might try to tell you that not so, but God says, yes, it is so. Whatever he does it so that men will learn how to fear him, how to honor him, how to respect him. And so he gives us those blessings, not for us to be prideful or to be arrogant towards other people, but God blesses us so that we can learn to give him praise. Look at verse 15. It says, that which had been is now, and that which is to be had already been, and God required that which is past. What does that little riddle that I just read mean? Because I'm using the King James Version. The bottom line is that what goes around comes around. In other words, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you see happening has already happened before, and will probably happen in the future with another generation. Bottom line is that God expects us to just put our trust in him. Why? Because there's just nothing new under the sun. God ordained it so for us to praise him, for us to worship him. And I want to encourage you, dear friend, to hold on and allow God to direct your path. You know, when Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, he had to give the Corinthian church some harsh words. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse, Paul had to give the Corinthian church some harsh words, but as he started to really talk to them, he started to testify to them. And he started to tell them what he was going through, and the fact that although he had gone through some difficulties and still had, you know, some things come up in his life, he was able to give God the praise, realizing that whenever we're going through for a reason. Whatever we're facing it for a reason. And we must understand that we're never alone in our trials, in our temptations, in our challenges. We are never alone because God is always with us. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse, Paul speaks to the Corinthian church, and he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Dear friend, if you've never memorized that verse, I would encourage you to memorize it. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in thy infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to encourage you to learn this scripture, because Paul, after, you know, trying to settle some differences of opinion between the Jewish Christians and the Gentiles coming into the church, converting to Christianity, Paul had to settle many things among them about culture, about the holidays, and different things. But one of the things that he had to remind them of was that not every time you call on God to move something, he's going to do it right away. Sometimes he will allow you to suffer through some things. Sometimes he will allow you to suffer through some challenges, because he wants you to come out of this as pure gold. He wants you to walk through the fire and be purged. You see, because when you put gold in the fire, it purifies it, and it takes out all of the little things that need to come out. Everything that does not need to be in that gold is purged. And you see, when we go through difficulties of life, what God is trying to do is purge us. He's trying to cleanse us. He's trying to get out all of those things that would keep us from being great men and great women of God. He wants us to allow him to do in us what a jeweler would do with gold. When they put it in the fire and it comes out pure, solid, with nothing else in it but that pure gold. God wants us to understand that whatever we're going through, his grace is sufficient. In other words, God's grace is enough for us to make it another day. His grace is enough for us to realize that even in our weakest moment, we can be strong. Even if in our weakest moment, we can find someone else to encourage. We can find someone else to pray for. He says he doesn't mind having infirmities. Why? Because even then, he's still going to praise God. He doesn't mind when people reproach him. That means talk about him in his face. He doesn't mind necessities, meaning that there are times in his travels preaching the gospel when, you know, he might not have had enough in something or the other. But he didn't mind going through that. He didn't mind, you know, beating or being locked in prison or what have you. He didn't mind going through all this stress because he knew that he was doing it for God. Dear friend, I don't know what you've been going through in your personal life or in your family, but I want you to understand that whatever you're going through, that God knows about it. He sees you, he understands it, and he loves you. And he is sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for you right now, making intercession for you. You are not alone, dear friend. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, God is able to sustain you. God is able to keep you. God is able to help you. Don't allow anything to discourage you. Don't allow anything to stop you from serving God. Why? Because just at that moment when you're about to give up, God says, don't give up, friend. Don't give up. My grace is sufficient for you. You know, understand that I am with you. I'm carrying you. I'm helping you right now. Don't give up. This is not the time in your life to give up. This is a time in your life for you to hold on and to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Let him strengthen you. Let him help you. Our scripture that we've been using is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. I want to encourage you, dear friend, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you are already a Christian, then I want you to find someone and witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. I believe that each one should teach one. Find somebody to tell them about Jesus. Our thoughts for today is persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. And there is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. I hope you know that, dear friend, that whatever you believe in your heart, you can achieve it. If you really believe that you can do great things for God, don't worry. God is the one that placed that into your heart, and you too can do great things for God. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just bless you. We lift up your holy name. I thank you, Lord God, for listeners all over the world, oh God, that will hear this message and be blessed by this message. Lord God, we pray for people in countries near and far, oh God, in the Far East and in Asia, Lord, African nations, the Caribbean nations, Central America, the Latin American countries, oh God. We pray for countries in Europe. Lord Jesus, we pray, oh God, for those up in Antarctica, Alaska, all of the different places, oh God, here in America. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would truly touch those way over in Australia and different places, oh God, that we have not been to. Lord God, you know, oh God, where Christians are all over the world, oh God, and we pray that for nations everywhere, God, that you would lead us back to you, Jesus. Lord, they're passing all types of laws to draw people away from you. But, Lord God, I pray that everywhere where you have Christians, oh God, that you would strengthen them and gird them up. Lord, I pray for the one listening to me right now. God, touch him. Touch her right now, Jesus. Touch their bodies. Strengthen them, oh God. Lord God, let the weak say that I am strong. I pray right now, God, for that one that needs that special touch right now. Touch that stomach right now, Lord God. Touch that back right now, Lord God. Touch that toe right now, God. I know that you're able, oh God, to heal in the name of Jesus. Touch that ankle right now, God. I know that you're able to heal in the name of Jesus. Touch that right knee right now, God. I know that you're able to heal in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I just give you praise, glory, and honor. I thank you, Lord God, for meeting every need that we have. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you right now, God. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you right now, God, and I pray that you would truly move in a special way. Bless your people. God, remember my daughter, God. I thank you for healing for her, God. And, Lord God, I just give you praise, glory, and honor, God. I thank you, Lord God, for healing for those that are listening, oh God, listening under the hearing of my voice. May they be healed. May they be delivered. May they be set free. And, Father, I thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. I thank you so much for studying with me on tonight, and I pray that you would stay with me just a little while longer as we play a song, You Are Good. We'll be right back. up, you know that the Lord is good. He is wonderful. There's a song that I love to play by Second Chance. It has really touched my heart. And so if you listen to me for more than one day, you will probably hear this song again. I've decided.
Strong.
God bless you, dear friend. Thanks for studying with me. You've been listening to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, praying that you and your family will be blessed. And listen to Second Chance Ministries, to bless out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Ah! Mr. Summer, we bless still with food. Me and Fanny got the blessings are in the
me and David,
imagine God has asked us to come around over to me.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider.